added an extra 10 minutes. We don't have the time for that. So if you've missed a week, just know all the sermon podcasts, the weekly challenges, and any other resources we have are on the website. We also have extra copies of the printed weekly challenge in the back as well. But just to help you understand, these 8 weeks is not a step. Like, it's not step one, step two, step three. There are eight different themes that really help us and relate, help us understand important issues and how we relate to God and how we take steps to go deeper in our walk with God. So I encourage you, if you did miss a week, it is, while they aren't steps, each of the 8 weeks is important. And so I encourage you on that. But I also want to say, if you're on week four and you think, I didn't even start week one, it's not too late. Take the challenge this week, work on the themes that we're talking about this week, and then you can go back and look at the previous weeks. But we've put a lot of time into this intentionally to try to have it be more than just what you hear on Sunday morning. There are times where if I asked you on Tuesday or Wednesday, what did you hear in the message on Sunday, sometimes we forget. Honest confession, there are times I forgot what I preached the previous Sunday. We're trying to be intentional to have some things that we put into practice and really fleshing it out. This week and the next 2 weeks, there's a key theme that you're going to hear. Next week, Steve's going to be bringing the message, talking about forgiveness, both receiving and offering forgiveness. This week, as we talk about the lies or the truth and what we believe about ourselves. And then in 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at the wounds that we carry and how they impact our relationship with God. A key word for all three of these weeks is self-awareness, is having an awareness of what's really going on in your heart and your soul. And the reality is we often are numb to that. We find things to kind of avoid talking about it or thinking about it. And so you're going to hear a lot about self-awareness today and in the next 2 weeks because I am convinced it's one of the most important principles in spiritual growth is coming to a point where you recognize the need to be aware of what's going on in your heart, your mind, your soul. What are you believing and what are you experiencing? When you experience rage or some emotion, why are you experiencing that and going a little deeper in those things? To help us understand the importance of self-awareness, I want you to think for a second. You can look on my wrist, and many of you probably have something like this, a health tracker of some form. I like Fitbit. That's just what I have. But if you have a health tracker, the point of a health tracker, a Fitbit or a Garmin or whatever you use, is to give you statistics, to give you information to help you be more aware of what's going on in your body. Now, some of that, if you take the information and do nothing with it, it's not really helpful. And then some of the information it gives you, you think, well, it's not like I didn't already know that. I've had people say, it's like, why do I need a sleep tracker to tell me that I'm not sleeping well? Because most likely you know you're not sleeping well. But it is kind of interesting to be able to look at those stats and kind of see how you're doing. And a lot of those trackers have apps that you can even start putting in everything you're eating and kind of keep track of calories and how that compares. It can give you this wealth of information. And so self-awareness in the sense of a physical need, those trackers help with that. We can become aware to say, okay, it's a lot of them have a heart rate monitor. If you got they can actually find an irregular heartbeat. They can find that your heart rate's not healthy. And the more information you give it, the more information it can kind of guide you towards and to help you have a greater awareness of what's going on physically in your life. I'm hoping that today and the next 2 weeks that we'll be unpacking some things. And the 3 weeks are not exhaustive. The idea of self-awareness, there's a lot of other areas we could talk about. But I think this week and the next 2 weeks are three of the biggies that over the years I've looked at my own life and I've worked with other people who I could see blocks. I could see kind of a block where they weren't seeing something. Everyone around them could see it, but they couldn't see it. And so if you have multiple people speaking into your life about something, it's very likely that you are not self-aware in that area of your life. And one of the best things you can do is start listening to those people around you. But that's the idea where we're going for these next few weeks. But to start out today, I just want to ask you, what lies are you believing? Now, anyway, you hear that saying, I'm not saying what are the lies that I'm choosing to believe. The lies. I mean, we are not talking about you lying or telling the truth. It's what are those things that you're believing about yourself that is inconsistent with the way that God views you and the way that God's word discusses what it means to be His child, and so to help us understand that, when I think about the idea of the lies that we believe. Why this is important is those lies that we believe can shape us. They can keep us from the life that God designed us to experience, the abundant and full life. And really connected to this series is they can keep us from walking in intimacy with God. And let me illustrate that. Early in my ministry, I can still remember a woman came into my office and she was stuck spiritually. She had enough of a desire. She wanted to grow spiritually, but she knew she was stuck. And as I started listening to her story, she had done something that was clearly a sin, had broken not only her family, it impacted another family and some of the choices that she had made. But she could never come to a point of forgiving herself for what she had done and breaking up her family and breaking up another family and her actions. And you know, as I heard her story, I was just reminding her of the forgiveness that she could have in Christ and the fact that God loves her. I remember sensing God telling me to do this, and I had her read John 3:16, and she basically said she believed it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. She could quote it, and she said she believed it, that God loved the entire world. When I asked her to replace her name in it, she couldn't do it. Now, I've had people read it and read their name in there, and they intellectually, they said they get it, but it still hadn't penetrated from their head to their heart, the idea that God loved them personally. But she couldn't even utter the word. She could not believe that God could forgive her and that God could love her. I don't know what you're going through and the lies that you might be struggling with or the lies that you might believe, whether it's about receiving God's love, whether you are lovable or whether you can be forgiven or what your worth is. But I want to encourage you to understand the significance of what we believe in that it will shape your life and has shaped your life. It absolutely will keep you, if you believe a lie that's inconsistent with what God has for you, it will keep you from experiencing the life God wants you to experience. And it will absolutely keep you from walking in intimacy and going deeper in your walk with God. To help us be aware of the lies we believe, it can really be helpful to consider the sources of the lies in our life. And I got to pause for a second. We're getting to the scripture. I really was excited a few weeks ago when we kind of worked our way to the scripture and we got in the car and Katie said, you were like 10 minutes in. And I'm like, is he going to deal with scripture? And brought that up. I was so excited that my daughter actually understood the importance of making sure scripture is a part of everything we're doing up here. So good way to go, Katie. But we're working to that. We're working to it. Scripture is at the foundation of this whole focus. But you know, one of the ways that we find can help unpack these lies, if you can go to the next slide, is to start looking at the labels and the messages that we embrace. And the idea of the labels, we sometimes think about labels and what we put on someone else. We use terms, I mean, a lot of different things. I mean, whether it's a political label or a personal label or whatever. But what I'm talking about are what are the labels that you embrace for yourself? And to think about that, think about some of the things maybe your parents said regularly. And I say that to say even the best parent is going to say things often enough that is maybe not intended to be hurtful, but even the best parent will often repeat things and say things that can create a label in a person's life. And I've talked to people over the years who had parents that were far from being great parents. And most of what they heard from their parents were negative. And some of you have experienced that. And the idea of experiencing God as father is a struggle because you didn't have a perfect father. And far from perfect father, and yet God reveals Himself as a father who loves us unconditionally. But, you know, for some of you, if you start thinking about the lies you believe and start trying to unpack that, you're going to see some of those go clear back to things you regularly experience with your parents. Some of that may go back to experiences in the fourth grade or third grade, whatever, and the name-calling that you experience from peers. Anyone have a hard memory that you have from when you were in, like, elementary school that sticks? Sometimes you have to process and think through that experience and say, what message did I take from that? And the other is repeated experiences. Maybe you were regularly bullied or you were regularly experiencing pain and heartache in your life or whatever the experience is. When there's a repetition of an experience, we can often begin to embrace a label about who we are. And so that's part of how we can unpack this. The other is the idea of self-talk. And I'm going to illustrate both of these in a second through my mother, my own mom. But the idea of a self-talk is like, do you ever find yourself talking to yourself under your breath and it goes negative? Or you know someone that does that? I love my mom. And as she shared more a few years ago when I had to do the family voyage at school and interview my parents about their childhood and things they experienced, I started seeing my mom with a whole new light. Things that I really had seen for years, I just didn't connect. She shared about how her dad, my grandfather, who died when I was quite young, was very critical, very negative. And shared more things about his experience. It's personal. I won't go into. But it was not a healthy relationship. Now he's been dead for many years, and yet my mom replays a lot of his words in her mind through this tape in her mind consistently. And that's what I mean by that idea of self-talk. And if I'm working on something with my mom, I'll hear my mom say it under her breath, "Penny, you're so stupid." And I'm at a point now, I'm like, "Mom, you aren't. Stop saying that." Because every time she says it, every time we repeat something like that, we're reinforcing it, that lie in our heart, in our minds. And so that idea of self-talk is something we really have to be careful with and be aware of. And so think about the labels you're embracing. Think about that self-talk. Are you regularly negative or repeating these messages in your mind that are inconsistent with God's word for you? Now, you might think for a second, is this really important? Is what we believe, our thought life, and how we approach these things really important? I say absolutely. And I don't have these scriptures on the screen, but if you want to make a note, when we think about the scriptures and specifically on our thoughts and what we believe, I think John 8, 31 through 32 says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word,'" or make your home in my word, "'you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" So there's something about living in the word, making your home in Jesus' words, that has an impact that actually frees us. Romans 12:2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So part of our spiritual transformation is clearly in this word is telling us it's because our minds are being transformed. What we believe are being transformed. In 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." That idea of taking a thought captive is saying, okay, take that to the idea of you're rolling that tape and you're making that comment and say, "Doug, you're so stupid." Or, "Doug, no one could love you." You fill in your name, whatever that message is. What do you do with that? Do you embrace it? Or do you take that thought captive? Do you do something with it to make sure that you're not holding on to something that is inconsistent with what God wants for you? So that's what we're talking about today. And how? What do? We want to develop an awareness of those things going on in our minds. But then then what do we do once we begin to know, okay, I'm believing some things about myself that are inconsistent with how God sees me. Now, what do you do with that? And so the three steps, and I'm going to show you the steps now, next slide, and explain a little bit, and then we're going to give you three examples of some of the lies that a lot of people believe and how God's truth speaks to that. And the idea of confronting the lies, okay, you become aware of it. It's not just enough to say, oh, yeah, I talk really bad about myself, or I reinforce these messages, or whatever. I want you to move beyond, and it's my prayer for all of us, is that we move beyond just becoming aware of it, but we do something about it. And again, it's like that Fitbit. You can become aware of heart rate not good, weight's not good, or whatever the issues are. And I mean, you can get all the health stats you want, but if you don't do something about it, it's not really meaningful. So when you become aware of some of the self-talk or the labels that you believe that are lies, that are inconsistent with God's truth about you, the question is, what do you do about it? And three steps. One, recognize the lie. Name it. What are you believing that's inconsistent with God's truth? Two, renounce the lie. Declare out loud that you do not believe the lie. There's something powerful on a earthly level, and I think on a spiritual dimension, when we declare that truth out loud. When we declare something to say, I renounce this, renouncing literally is you're turning your back on it. So again, the illustration I used earlier, the you're so stupid. Or let's use another one. I can't be forgiven, or I can't be loved, whatever it is. If you renounce that and say, that is not true, there's something about saying it out loud that has an impact not only on us and the earthly level, but even spiritually, there's a dynamic of what happens there to bring freedom into your life. And that brings us to the third step, is to embrace the truth. And again, declare out loud the truth of God's word that confronts the lie that you were believing. Now, so that's what we do. We take the lies we believe, we identify them, we renounce them, say we want to turn from them, and then we embrace the truth. So that raises the question, well, where do I find the truth about who I am? I'm going to ask you, where do we find God's truth? In his word. So it's, when we get into God's word, it's so helpful. I think sometime years ago, someone told me, it's like when you're reading God's word, ask yourself, what is this saying about what I believe about God? What is this saying about what I believe about myself? And what is this saying about what I believe about the world? Because if when we go to God's word and when we accept the God's truth, it raises that question in our life that we can ask ourselves, do I really believe this to be true? Do I believe this to be true about myself? Too often, if we go to God's word just trying to have it affirm what we already believe, that's a really dangerous way to read God's word. But if you go to God's word with your life being open to say, if there's anything about what I believe about God, anything I believe about myself, or anything I believe about the world that is inconsistent with God's word, when I open up God's word, I want it to change. And so we need to be living in God's word. On the back table today, and this will be posted online, actually there's a resource that Neil Anderson has called The Truth About Me that it lists a whole list of lies that we often believe and then the truth with the scriptures to help you in that. So I encourage you to take that before you leave today. We're going to look at three of the common groups of lies and how God's truth speaks to those lies. But I encourage you this week to get that out, get that list, and be in God's word. But maybe even read through that list and check off the ones that really stand out to you, some of the lies that you believe, and then focus on the scriptures that are on the paper. But let's look at the first. Today we're going to look at three groups of lies that have some common themes. And this first one is, this group number one is, I'm worthless. Or I'm an accident. I have no purpose. I run into these are things that at the core of who we are, we all struggle with these things to some level. But often I see people who have embraced these things and they it's like they wear this label. It's like they have a t-shirt on that says worthless. an accident. No purpose. If you're here today and you believe that, I want you to hear this truth. And what I'm reading is just one of many scriptures I could read to you. But Psalm 139:13-16. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. So let's think for a second. If you're here today and you feel worthless, you have no purpose, that you are in an accident, God's word tells us that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that before you live today, every one of your days, God has seen it and has a purpose and a plan for it. So practically speaking, if you find yourself this week struggling with worth and value, feeling like your life's just meaningless or an accident, go to this scripture and embrace that truth. Renounce the lie to say, no, I'm not worthless. I am a child of God and I am made in his image. And I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And God created me for a purpose. What about group number two? Three similar lies. I am beyond God's grace. I am unforgivable. There's just something wrong with me. This relates to the story I shared of the woman who could read the scripture. She could say, for God so loved the world. But she couldn't substitute her own name there. And really, her issue was not just that she couldn't receive God's love. The real issue is she couldn't receive God's forgiveness. Which we're going to get to in the next one. Or actually, no, it is part of this one. Sorry. Romans 8:1-2, some scriptures that speak to these lies. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What we should be experiencing when we're walking with Jesus is not condemnation, but grace. And being affirmed in who we are in him. The New Testament teaches the difference between, and the King James always used the term godly sorrow. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. If you're just beating yourself up over a past action or sin, that's condemnation. When God convicts us, his Holy Spirit convicts us and points out sin in our life, it leads us to a point of repentance and surrendering that to God. That's the way God's Spirit works in us. But if we're stuck and we've asked for forgiveness multiple times and yet we still don't feel that we've been forgiven over an issue and you're living under condemnation, you need to hear that truth that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:13-14 says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And 1 John 1:9, what a friend of mine years ago described as a spiritual bar of soap, says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Who's the he? God, specifically the Son, Jesus. If you look at 1 John, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're here today and you feel you're beyond God's grace or you feel unforgivable or that somehow God can change everyone else, but he can't change you. He can work in everyone else's life, but he can't work in your life. You need to hear this truth. You're not condemned. You're under his love. You're under his grace. Jesus took your sin upon himself upon the cross. And that is the heart of the gospel. I love the line of the song today that I will sing or preach the gospel to myself. That's a powerful line. And it's absolutely true. We need to regularly, the idea of proclaiming the gospel, we need to be doing that to ourselves and our own hearts and our own lives as well. and speaking the truth of who we are in Jesus. Group number three, I am unwanted. I am unloved. Just a pause for my notes. I know there are some of you right now, that just even hearing those words is painful. That you're unloved or unwanted. Maybe you grew up in a situation where that was your experience. You didn't feel like anyone really wanted you around. And if that's you, I want you to hear the truth of these words, that there is nothing greater than God's love for you. And He wants you. And He's pursuing you. Sometimes it's not that you feel unwanted or unloved, but is a similar issue is the value. How do you feel valued? And you might finish this word with different words, that my value is conditioned by or determined by, and it could be the acceptance from others. It could be the number of attaboys you get when you perform or whatever it is you do. What is your value determined by? Now, I'll share this personally. That's one I struggle with. And over the last few years, as I've walked through some of this in my own processing, my own life, I've realized that McCracken men have tended to be workaholics, which can be a noble trait that has a lot of negative things along with that. And part of that is sometimes we get into this idea, we fall into the trap, and I have definitely over my years spiritually fell into a trap of performance. Not with the sense of trying to perform for others, but the idea of saying, well, I have to perform at a certain level so that others will love me or that God will love me. Anyone else here share that one? And so we fall into this, and I think sometimes in our tradition we almost feed this. And rather than starting with the love of God that then motivates us to then want to serve Him, if we get the cart before the horse and think, well, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to do things for God so that I can earn His love, we've got it backwards. And yet, if we're honest, all of us can fall into that trap. And so the truth to these statements remind us of the fact that our starting point in our walk with God is not performance. It's not us trying to earn anything. It's us embracing the truth. It's preaching the gospel to ourselves that we are loved by God and that Jesus loved us enough to go to the cross for us. The truth statements tell us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. John 15:9-10, as the Father, Jesus is saying this, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Make your home in my love. And Romans 8:35-39 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. If you're here today and you feel unloved or unwanted or you feel like you have to somehow earn God's love, let the truth of those statements ring true. I want to read a quote. I don't think I have this on the slide, but Rob Reamer has said this. I've heard him say it multiple times, and it's a truth that I need to continue to remind myself of, that the issue of your value isn't determined by whether or not people like you. The issue of your value isn't determined by your performance. The issue of your value was settled on the cross. The issue of your value isn't determined by whether or not people like you. The issue of your value isn't determined by your performance. The issue of your value was settled on the cross. Let that truth sink in this week. And so your weekly challenge, and for encourage you, I mean, be in God's Word as you start developing this idea of the awareness. And go to the next slide, final slide. The two things I want you to practice this week is developing that awareness. But again, having the awareness doesn't help unless you do something about it. When you find that you're believing a lie or holding on to a lie, you got to know what to do with it. And so start developing the awareness. Think about, take some time and reflect and think. You've already started the conversation this morning, but think about what are the messages from your experience and through your life that you've embraced, or the labels you've embraced about yourself. And those of you that are guilty of the self-talk and repeating some of those negative messages or untruths, become more aware of it. Listen to it. Probably a good exercise for every one of us is go to someone that you spend a lot of time with and ask, am I guilty of self-talk, negative self-talk? Because often we don't see it. And we need someone that lives with us, someone who can check us out and give us feedback to tell us, yeah, you're pretty down on yourself. So work on those things. And again, there's a resource I'll post online. There's copies of it in the back, The Truth About Me. Take that. The small group leaders have an extra copy of that as well. But I want you to do, when you become aware of one of the lies, and that sheet might be helpful because you can look down and check the ones that you struggle with and then look at some of the scriptures. But when you notice it, do something about it. Recognize the lie. What are you believing that's inconsistent with God's truth? Renounce the lie. Turn your back on it. Declare out loud that you do not believe that lie anymore. And then embrace the truth. Declare out loud the truth of God's word that confronts the lie that you believe. This can have again, remember how the lies impact us. It shapes us. It can keep us from the life God wants us to experience, and can absolutely be a block to us experiencing intimacy with God and going deeper with Him. This is not just an exercise for no point. I believe that if we get into the regular habit of doing this type of work in our hearts and our lives to be more aware of what's going on in our lives and then dealing with it and taking the lies and rejecting it and embracing the truth of who we are in Christ, that it will be transforming in our lives and will remove that barrier so that we can go deeper with Christ in our life. Will you pray with me? As the musicians come, I just want to encourage you this morning, if you're here today and you know you've been holding on to a lie about who you are and you know you need to surrender those things and to reject it, to embrace the truth of who you are in Christ, Lord, I just pray that you would help each one of us to recognize those lies and to let them go so we might embrace you and your truth. I pray a special prayer for the person here today that feels unwanted or unloved. Lord, I pray that they would not only hear the words that you love them, that for God so loved them, that you gave your only son. Lord, help them to not only hear the words, but even in this moment, I pray that they would experience the reality of your love for them. May we all know, Lord, that in Jesus we can find forgiveness and we can find love that never wavers. And Lord, may in response to your love and in response to your forgiveness and your grace, Lord, may we just pursue you this week, Lord, with reckless abandon. May we just pursue you with our whole hearts. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.